Hey guys, Josh and Jess are back, and we wanted to do a, I guess it's going to end up being a Sunday sit down when this goes out, but we want to make sure we got this out to you guys over the weekend, because it was a topic I thought that was incredibly relevant as I've seen, you know, scoured the internet and seen what all these amazing fitness coaches keep talking about. And so Jess and I decided to start discussing basically the lie of passive income, or at least the misunderstanding and not quite the truthful proposition of what passive income ends up being for most people. So right off the bat, you know, I'm going to talk about me being really old because I can. Around 2003, I got introduced, and at this point, I don't even remember how. The internet was this pretty new thing as far as fitness professionals go. And this gentleman named Ryan Lee came out with a program of how to build a six-figure program. And six figures at the time, I'll be very honest, was like a dream for most fitness professionals. It probably still is today, even though everyone promotes 7, 8, 10, I don't know, figure programs, that they make it pretty outrageous. So, you know, definitely got into that and wanted to see what Ryan had talked about. And through one of the things that got me really interested in what he was doing is it wasn't necessarily the idea of passive income. It was the idea that I could have another, you know, revenue source. So obviously most coaches know that, you know, if you are a trainer, that your income is completely dictated upon, you know, how many clients you have and, you know, the more you work. And those are really the two elements. So you could either get, you know, try to get more people per hour to pay you so you make more money, or you work more hours. So those are the only two options. And at the point, Jessica can attest to, I was pretty much working from before the sun came out to after the sun went down, right, Jess?
Yeah.
It was fun because I could at least take my dogs with me, and the dogs were like the celebrities of the gym. But I was definitely getting burned out, and I definitely wanted to be able to have another outlet. So that's how I first saw Ryan's program. And to be very honest, I got involved and started doing all the work he said. And, you know, that was when I first had the idea of coming out with a sandbag ebook. Now, the idea that Ryan talked about is, you know, ultimately we all had the dream of basically you created a product, or, you know, you created some type of online service that then could give you this quote unquote passive income. And the idea was like, okay, you make the product and then you don't have to worry about it. It sells millions for you and you get rich, right? But here's the reality of it. So when I created my program, the first thing I did is I asked Ryan, hey, would you be interested in partnering with me on it and putting it out to your list? Because there's one big problem that I had. I had no list of emails for people to reach out to. I could reach out to, you know, people individually, but even Facebook at the time, social media definitely wasn't a big thing. So Ryan agreed. And I remember, you know, got the book, gave him the book. He had, you know, looked it over, thought it was great. It was on my very first sandbag training book. And I remember I had caught the flu. So I had to call my clients and tell them I couldn't come into that day. So right off the bat, I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to be, I mean, I'm going to lose some income, right? You know, those are sessions I'm missing, or, you know, less soon that they can sign up for more sessions, right? And, you know, I remember that Ryan announced that he was releasing the program. So he gave me this backend link to see how sales went. And I remember being like floored that, you know, I would hit this refresh button and there would be sale after sale, after sale, after sale. And I made probably more money in that day than I typically did at a month at the gym. And I'm like, holy cow, this thing, like, it actually can work. As good as that story sounds, the biggest thing that people take out of it normally is that, oh, look, he created an ebook and it did exactly what you guys wanted. But, you know, the most important thing you guys should take away from it is the list part. I didn't have the people to reach out to speak to, you know, people that are following me that bought, you know, that would want to buy the ebook. At that time, I was still writing articles online, so I had some name recognition, but I didn't have a list to reach out to let people know how to buy this and everything like that. So I guess the point of the story there is, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing online stuff for 20 years, which sounds funny to say out loud. I know some people brag, oh, we've been doing this for 2 years and we could teach you how to do everything. And it's like, there's so many elements because so many things have changed over that time too. So, you know, it's not so easy as, you know, the field of dreams idea of, you, if you build it, they will come. So I think where a lot of trainers right off the bat are getting sold a bad bill of goods is, you know, making a product that you can sell is a great idea, but that is a very small part of it. So having spoken probably for the first 5 minutes, I'll give a chance just to jump in and go, you know, what is your thoughts when you hear people promoting this passive income lifestyle where you can travel the world and make money at the same time?
Honestly, it doesn't exist. I mean, you look at any company that's successful and it's not passive. It's a lot of active, hard work. And I think it is, I think people are being sold, you know, incorrect information when it comes to passive income. So if I sell a program today that I made back 2 years ago, that's still not passive income. I worked really hard to put that program together. And that's a lot of hours of putting that program out there. I don't consider it passive by any means. It was a lot of hard work. And we still have, you know, we have to have a website that functions daily to put the product up there. You know, you still have to put your name out for people to find that product 2 years later, things like that. So it's just sad to see, like, it's sad to hear when people just say, you know, you can go off on vacation and, you know, you're going to have an income.
Yeah. My thing is they're leaving out a lot of action steps that go on. And you mentioned a few of them. So I'll clarify for people. I just said it well, but just like things that are super important. Number one, like when you typically work in our society, you get paid for the work that you've done. The difference here is you're doing work and you have no idea if you will get paid or how much you will get paid, because you're going to put an effort to create this product. And then you hope that people end up buying it. And, you know, through the years, Jessica, we've had some programs I thought that were going to be awesome that kind of bombed. And we had programs that were going to bomb that were awesome. So it's really hard to always tell, even if you know your audience pretty well, what's going to end up selling. It could be dictated by so many variables, especially now with COVID, you know, in the mix. And people are just, you know, doing things very differently. And if you're relying solely on, you're like, but Josh, I don't need to build up a list or a name because I'm on social media. So are a billion other people. And the problem is that we all know that the algorithms keep changing and the visibility you have on social media changes as well. So you would need to develop a massive audience. And when I'm saying a massive audience, I'm probably talking about 500,000 minimum people following you, especially on a platform like Instagram, to really feel like you could consistently sell a program only through your social media efforts. Would you agree, Jess?
I mean, we see the conversion rates on certain things, and you're right. You have to have a really big following because what did you say the conversion was for, I don't know, someone that had like you said, 500,000 followers?
Well, the one example I often give people end up being like a 0.5% of his following actually end up buying from him. Yeah. So if you do the math on that and you look at your followers, you might be like, uh-oh, I might be in a little bit of trouble here.
Right.
And it doesn't mean doom and gloom for you if that is the case, because even if you're on social media, one of the big problems of social media depends on the platform. Like Facebook, you can insert a link right there and people can get to it. But on a platform like Instagram, for example, you have to try to drive people to your bio and then click on your bio to get to the site. And then they actually have to go through the process of trying to buy the product. Right. So, and it's a simple, and I learned this almost the beginning of the internet. God, I sound old when I say that. The more action steps you ask of people, the less likely you are to have people to buy. So while it's probably a little easier on Facebook, you also have to know, like, are your people on Facebook? Are going to see the product? So the moral of the story is social media should be a tool that you use. It should be a tool that you build, you know, the reputation with and the audience with, but you're going to have to do things like write content that you can then lead capture with. I know everyone's into these like magical funnels, but they're not magical either. The reason I've been able to accumulate a large following over the years is, one, I've been doing it for a long time, but two, I've been doing it consistently for a long time. In the 20 years I've been doing it, really haven't taken a break from ever doing it. And lastly, I write articles all the time on a variety of platforms to help drive people to my website to have them sign up. Does that sound passive to you guys? That sounds like a good bit of work. In other words, making your product as work, and then marking your product as work. So again, we haven't got to the passive side yet. If you have a monster audience that you built up, yeah, maybe you can put out your product and it sells amazingly well. But I'll tell you, as your numbers get bigger, your expectations for those sales also get bigger. So that's something you have to take in consideration as well. Like, you know, how much do you want to be making? And then, like, you know, in my case, and Jessica, maybe you could talk to this. I don't think people understand. I was running my gym when I began DVRT. And I did that for several years, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people just jump, right? They keep jumping. Like, if this doesn't work, I go to the next thing. I go to the next thing. I go to the next thing. They never do like a smooth transition, you know, to make sure what they're getting into is going to be solid. It's going to be productive. You know, it's going to be financially viable. I think for both of us, when we met, right, you had your gym and you were starting DVRT and I was working full time as a therapist, and it took, gosh, like 6 years for us to fully, the two of us, go 100% into DVRT. You know, you slowly transitioned from your facility. I slowly went, you know, part-time, then contract. Like, it was never a, you know, snap my fingers and let's just do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good way of people thinking about it is a lot of people are being told basically like, go quit your job, even though you don't have a backup yet, and it'll all work out. Like, it might, but that's a huge risk. Mm-hmm. And for you to start at a place of zero and go do that, man, you may not see, you know, a return on your investment for quite some time. Right. So it can be a very scary thing. It's kind of reminds me almost like winemakers, right? When we've gone out to wineries and, you know, you talk to them from a business perspective, what does it take them, like 10 years to see a profit?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they would consider that passive either. So there's a lot of upfront work that you end up doing. And even that, like when you do create a product, it can't be just something you slap together. Think of it as like a date and you're giving a first impression, right? And so when you're doing that, like it's still gotta be something actually valuable to people. I see people, you know, basically when they put out their content, especially on social media, it sounds like a fortune cookie, right? You know, like it literally does, like, right? Just love it. Just love yourself, love your work, and things will work. Like, what? And your numbers are 24, 32, 1. Yeah, I mean, you know, like a fortune cookie would say, like, I mean, that's not information. That's not helpful, because that's not how passive income starts to be generated. The reality is there's only, I think, you know, you use it at best. There's only two forms of true passive income. What were they, Jess?
Yeah, I mean, any financial advisor or anyone in this field is going to tell you the only two legit passive income is real estate, which, you know, can be a gamble sometimes, right? And the stock market, again, which can be a gamble, but those are the only two legitimate types of passive income. Everything else is a lot of work.
And we've had investments in both, and fortunately we've been positive in both, but like that was the only time like some we made money and we literally weren't doing anything.
Yeah, that's the only time.
Because now let's walk you through the idea of I built up my list, I have my product, now I'm selling it and some people are buying it. Great, but guess what? Someone's got to do customer service. Now, if you're like, well, Josh, they say hire people. So that may be true. So there's something called a virtual assistant, which basically is not a full-time employee at all. It's someone who works hourly virtually, as the name implies. And you can find people that would do your customer service. But guess what? You probably have to spend time training that customer service person. You're probably going to have to go through several of them over time, just because, again, this is not a full-time job. Yeah, and they're not cheap. So now you have to look at, now what is your profit? Now how many products do you have to sell to actually, you know, make that so-called passive income? So this passive income stuff is sounding like work, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then you have to look at, like you had mentioned before, marketing, right? So are you budgeting something for marketing? Are you budgeting into account? I mean, are you doing this on a website? Are you doing like PayPal fees, credit card fees? So it goes on top of all these product things. And then are you just going to sell one product then forever?
Right. So, I mean, someone recently was talking like, you know, if they were putting it out there that they paid for their vacation through a program they had sold online. That's great. But here's the problem. Was that all the money you made just to pay for that vacation?
Yeah, it can pay for something, but then you spent all your profits, right?
You spent all your profits. So now
you have to go do it again.
Yeah. So now you have to hope that you can do it again. And, you know, things have ebbs and flows. Sometimes you'll drop off because people are still working through your program. Like, you know, people now want more than ever. So if you give them a year long program and then 4 weeks later, try to sell them another 1 year program, you know, well, they're gonna be like, well, I haven't worked through the other one yet. So they may not end up buying that one. And especially, you know, if you're going after the same type of person, right? If you're not giving them something different or something that's complementary to something you already put out. But again, now you got to go through the process of building that program, marketing that program, writing articles to help people see the value of this program. So the whole point of us having this conversation is, if you go into the expectation where you're going to write down something you do in 5 minutes and sell it for $100,000 when you magically put it up online, you're kidding yourself. That's not how this works at all. And ironically, one of the people I knew that worked the hardest was Ryan. You know, I mean, while you know, our lifestyle now is different, it's still work every day. Like, I think people think maybe we sit at home, Jess, and just eat bonbons all day, which would be, you know, fun.
I'm pretty sure.
But I mean, most of our day is actually working, whether it's creating new content, editing that content, writing articles or marketing material to promote that content, you editing that content, you working with web designers, you know, I mean, we can go on and on and on. But like you guys are starting to see, I'm not trying to discourage you from doing these things. I'm trying to give you a reasonable expectation of what it takes to actually do it. Because I think the number one thing we see, Jessica, is people just are not consistent with it.
Yeah, if they put something on and it doesn't like click right away or they don't see a huge return, they're just on to the next and they forget about it, right? And I think that's sad because it does take a lot of time. It takes consistency. It takes a lot of work. So if you believe you have something really good to put it out there, but don't think it's just going to be this huge passive income. Think of it more like a supplemental, right? You're adding, right? It's a bonus income. And I think if you look at it that way, it won't be as discouraging if you're not seeing these huge, huge, you know, returns. So if you just look at it as, okay, this is just bonus or extra, that might be a better way to look at stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd recommend people do is start trying to build their list. And by list, I mean a place where people either insert their emails that you capture, or now there's tech services you've just been working on too. Maybe you can explain that a little bit, where you can contact people by text. I recommend not doing that very often. Like email, you can do very often. Text, because people have it on their phone, so they're on their phone so much, I recommend doing that maybe no more than two, like three times at the absolute most a week without annoying and getting unsubscribes. But, you know, here's the thing too, another layer. Once you get those subscribers, you don't come out of the gate with a sales pitch. You have to give them content. You have to build a relationship with them to give them trust that they want to buy from you and that you're offering a solution that these people have signed up saying that they need. So that means probably emails already set up or blog posts already set up to go out to them to start showing the value you can deliver to them. So guess what? More work on this holy passive income type thing. So I don't want to discourage people. It just, you are undertaking a different job, right? It's still work. It's just different work. And I think, like you said, Jess, like people go, you know, people have made products for us for DVRT, but they have the advantage of us having a 20-year list basically of people. So that's a good audience. We have brand recognition. We have brand trust. So if we put out a product, it often does pretty well versus if they try to do it on their own. It's like, oh, you know, my mom and dad might buy it and a couple of buddies, but it's not going to sell to a level where that I go, that was really worth the effort on that. Right.
Right. I'm always amazed too. Like when we offer, you know, hey, did you want to do something? And no one ever follows through. Majority of the time, I should say, no one ever follows through.
Yeah. Because I mean, creating even just a workout program, just a workout program is a good amount of work. Like, I mean, you know, and now, like I said, more than ever, people want to see more. Like back in the day, you could probably give like a 12-week program and that would probably do pretty well in sales. But now people want like way more workouts. They want, you know, 6 months at least worth of workouts, things like that. And then now with social media, they can find free workouts. So you have to offer them something unique in this program. What are you going to offer them that no one else is through these free posts that they can find on social media? So the value of workout programs has even dropped over time. I remember people could easily sell a workout program for $39, $49. And now the market's probably anywhere from $9 to $19.
Right. And you're competing with celebrities now too, right? It's a big niche for every celebrity as well, right? So you're not only competing with all the other people on Instagram, but you're competing with big names and big companies.
Yeah. And we're not trying to scare you. We're just trying to be honest with you guys.
Well, yeah, if you're going to take the time to do something, you have to understand if the market wants what you have. You have to understand the price point, what people are willing to pay. And you have to know if you have some sort of reach to get to certain people that might want what you have.
Yeah, and it has to be something where they're buying you,
yeah,
right? Or they're buying a unique way you train, something, or you have a unique spin on a solution. Especially if you go something like fat loss, muscle building, or whatever, you're going to find, Dwight's getting mad. We're going to have to wrap this up soon. There's something that makes you stand out in the crowd, basically. And so I think a lot of times, when we describe to people, when we reach out and say, hey, this is, do you want to do this program? They're like, oh, that sounds interesting. What does it take? And we list out all the things that need to be done. That's where people often fall off. And I don't blame them because they're like, oh, that's, how do I add that work to what I'm already doing? But again, if that's something you want to do, you almost have to make a scheduled appointment with yourself to go and do the work for at least an hour a day, if not more, because again, you're going to feel like this thing never gets done. And, it's not like you can do 15 minutes in between your clients. You have to be able to sit down and really dedicate yourself because you have to get into a mind frame to write out the content, do all the stuff that you want. It's not always so, time efficient. Sometimes it's very much a lot of extra time to what you're doing. And again, not trying to scare you, trying to give you guys realistic expectations of what it takes to actually do these things. So, again, there's probably a lot we could go off of. Again, I don't want to be the guy, the parent that tells you guys don't do this. I think there's still a way to do it, but you have to come in there with an actual plan. You actually have to do actual work. You actually have to do a lot of upfront work. Probably most of your work's going to be upfront, and then you won't even know. And then you want to know too, like, am I doing this just to make a couple extra bucks? So maybe like I can go get a vacation, or maybe I want to go buy a car or whatever it may be. Or I want to just buy a buffer in my savings a little bit, because doing that's much different than going, I'm going to try now to replace my training with this now online business. So that's a whole different ball game. And that takes, again, it's going to be a lot of work. It's funny, when I would go to these early conferences, these internet business conferences, some of these guys were making crazy money at the time. This is like 2006. But they were like living on their computers. Like it was like Silicon Valley, right? Like they were on their computers all the time. And so, yeah, they were making money, but it definitely wasn't passive.
No, I can't think of anyone that I know that is super successful or just successful in life in general that doesn't work hard.
Yeah, because honestly, for you guys, for you guys getting some perspective, once we complete, and this drives Jessica nuts, but once we complete a program, which tends to be a lot of work, I'm already thinking about what's going to be the next thing.
And the next thing.
Because again, for us, this is our whole business. So again, it's not like, oh, great, I made $5,000 from that. That's awesome. But that's not going to pay, that's not long-term money. That's not going to give me a retirement. That's not going to give me the security that I'm wanting. Is that even going to be enough money for me to like quit my training job? Like you said, we worked probably a good 5 or 6 years before we went fully upon DVRT. There's a reason, other reason for that. I know I enjoyed my clients and so forth, but again, I think a lot of people, they drop everything before they even have a plan of what they're going to be doing. The great thing about having, a current job, no matter what it is you have some income and then you can start plotting everything out. And, there was times that I'd come home dead tired from training like 12 hours a day, but I would sit at the computer for a little bit to go over some of the things I didn't get to during the day because I was busy training people. So again, if you think this is going to be easy, if you think this is going to be quick, if you think you're just going to throw something out randomly and think it's going to sell well, man, like you just can't have that type of attitude. You're going to come across disappointed and you're going to feel like, oh, what were people talking about with this passive income thing? This makes no sense. So if I spend, you know, again, and I think a good way to think about it, if I spend 100 hours, you know, building up my program, you know, from the marketing and the writing, the editing and all the things, and then I put it out there and I make $2,000, well, do the math, guys. It's not, I made $2,000 maybe on a day I didn't work, but I put in 100 hours to get to that point. So now I have to look at like, was that worth the 100 hours it took me to make that $2,000? Or is there another avenue in my own business that could have been better used? So guys, again, it's one of those things like, there are people that do passive income, but they're probably the top 1%, right? And you know, they go through the same thing of like, they often think of what's next, and they're planning a lot of things too. So, you know, it's something that's gonna be a job. And if you commit to it as a job, you can be potentially successful with it depending upon what your expectations are for it. But if you think about, hey, today's September 3rd, I'm gonna get a product out by September 10th. I'm gonna write an ebook. I'm gonna put it out to the internet, and I'm going to make $5,000 in the month of September. It doesn't work that way, right? Now, unless you give people a reason to share it, and they're probably getting a percentage too. Like I remember, you know, Ryan and I went in on it 50-50 because I'm like, hey, I'm going to win, come out a winner because I have no list. And so, you know, we both made good money from it, but I had to give up some of that money. But for me, that was money I never had in the first place because I wouldn't have been able to sell it. So wrapping this, guys, up, you know, again, we don't want to be doom and gloom. We're trying to give you like the honest answer and the like, how do you plan for this? How do you actually accomplish this? Do you have a newsletter service that you know, MailChimp, AWeber? I mean, there's a million of them out there. Is that integrated to a website of some sort that you can direct people to capture their information? Are you out there, you know, do you know what type of project you want to get into? And are you building your name as the expert in that topic? There can be multiple experts, but people want to know you for something. Like, what are you about? And so these are all, you know, things that you need to be able to address when you get into the online business side of things. Because even if you're talking about online training, it's probably even harder because, again, you're going to need to have that list, and you're generally talking about a higher price point type of, you know, product or service. And it's something that potentially can also require a lot of time on your side as well. Like when we create programs for our online clients, it's an extensive amount of time filming, uploading, designing all these programs, because we do make them progressive and individualized. We just don't throw people scripted workouts. And so I think, you know, again, it's gonna be work. You have to be prepared to do honest, legitimate work, and work that you don't know how much money you're gonna make upon it, right? So wrapping this up, if you guys have questions, if you're like, oh my God, you guys now I wanna jump off the roof of my house, don't do that. It's still very doable, but you have to have a process to follow. Drop us an email at info@ultimatesandbagtraining.com or at dvrtfitness.com. You can get through our email. If you want to ask questions about this topic, if you're like, hey, so-and-so told me this, we're willing to help you give some, maybe some context to maybe that subject matter, or maybe with things to consider, or if you need some advice about what to do and where to start, we can do that as well. So Jess, I hope you enjoy your weekend. Maybe we'll see each other sometime soon. Maybe. I don't know how this works, maybe. But I appreciate you spending the time, because again, I think it's what we're trying to do with this is help people have the right expectation, give them honest answers to the questions, let them know what's involved with the things they say that are important to them, and understanding that getting to a seven-figure business is not something probably 99% of these online fitness coaches have actually ever done, other than selling you. So guys, till next time, it's Josh and Jess, and hopefully you guys have a great weekend.